this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. It's a little difficult to debate theological issues on the air, but today we're going to give it a shot. We had a call last week. Someone said that they wanted to know what we believed about the Sabbath and if we have to keep the Sabbath. And so the way I'd like to do this is go back to Yuma, Colorado, and welcome Jeff back on the show. Jeff, this is Bob Enyart. How are you?
Hi, Bob.
Jeff, are you on a landline?
A mobile phone.
Okay, that'll make it a little bit hard, but we'll do it. Here's what I'd like to do, Jeff. You said that you told me just before the show, we checked back with you, and you said you believe we Christians should keep the Sabbath. And so I'd like to sort of give your view to start with, give the Bible verses that you would probably quote. And then after I do that, I'll give a summary of the belief of those who say we should keep the Sabbath, and then you could add to it or correct it if you'd like.
Okay.
All right. So to start with, the first Sabbath command in the Bible, of course, in the creation, it says that God created in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested.
Yes.
In Genesis. And then in Exodus, the first command to do no work on the seventh day appears in Exodus chapter 20 in the Ten Commandments. And it's the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor, and the seventh day of the Sabbath is the Sabbath. In it you shall do no work. And so then Seventh-day Adventists and other Christians point out that there are a number of verses in the Bible that say that this command is forever. It's perpetual. For example, in Exodus 31, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. And we see that also in Exodus 31 that Israel shall keep the Sabbath. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. It says forever. And we could go on with a few more verses like that. Leviticus 24, every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually by an everlasting covenant. And 2 Chronicles 2, 4, of the Sabbath, this is an ordinance forever. So we see quite a bit of that. In the Old Testament, there are references to a future kingdom, Israel's kingdom on earth. We often call it a millennial kingdom or a thousand-year kingdom. And in Ezekiel 44, speaking in the time of that kingdom, that earthly kingdom, it says, they shall hallow my Sabbaths, Ezekiel 44:24. And then in Isaiah 66, the Lord is speaking of the new heavens and the new earth, saying that they shall remain before him forever. And in that context, he says, from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship me, implying that the Sabbath is an eternal covenant. So far, is that okay, Jeff?
So far, except the first time the Sabbath is mentioned is in Genesis or Exodus 16.
Exodus chapter 16, God says that the day will be a Sabbath rest for them.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. And the first time, what I said was, the first time there's a command given that on the seventh day you shall do no work, that was in the Ten Commandments just four chapters later. But very good, clarification there. Okay, and so to continue now, was the Sabbath given only for the Israelites? Well, no, it's given for Gentiles too. In Isaiah chapter 56, we read that the sons of the foreigner must keep from defiling the Sabbath, and then I will bring them to my holy mountain, says the Lord. So even the Gentile, even the foreigner must keep from defiling the Sabbath, we read in Isaiah.
Yeah, so that's Isaiah 56.
That's right, verses 6.
The future millennium, right?
Verses 6 and 7. And we find out that's not only the Jews, that's also the Gentiles.
That's right.
So then we come to the... Hey, am I doing okay so far?
Hey, you're making my case.
All right, good, good. If I don't know the argument of someone I disagree with, then I can't put much stock in my own position.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so then we come to the New Testament, and some Christians will say, well, the Sabbath, that was it. Once you got to the New Testament, we no longer have to keep the Sabbath.
Isaiah 56 is speaking of a time after the New Testament.
Yeah, right, exactly. Okay, so now let me real quickly do some New Testament passages. The women who found that the tomb was empty, those women, they had first buried Jesus Christ, and they prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they buried him. And in Luke 23, verse 56, it says, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment.
Yeah, that's right.
So they were keeping the Sabbath. And these are the people who had listened to Jesus Christ teach for 3 years and loved him dearly, his closest followers.
Yes, and Jesus also said that those that are fleeing from the wrath of God hope that it's not on the Sabbath.
Well, that's Matthew 24, verse 20.
That's right.
And it's speaking of the period of the Great Tribulation, it says, which is still to come on this earth. And Jesus says, pray that your flight may not be on the Sabbath. And the reason for that is because Israel had what they called a Sabbath day's journey. Mm-hmm. We even read that in the first chapter of Acts, where they would only travel a certain distance, because if you walked for 10 miles, that would be work. So they had, Bethany was a Sabbath day's journey from Jerusalem, which was about 2 miles.
Right.
So Jesus said, obviously, when Jesus says, pray that your flight is not on the Sabbath, he's talking to people who he is expecting will honor the Sabbath.
Right.
We're agreeing so far.
So far.
All right. In Matthew chapter 12, the Lord talks about it's right to do what is lawful, to do what is good on the Sabbath. So certainly he's talking in the context of the Sabbath. In Matthew 5, in Matthew 23, the Lord is talking about the Mosaic law. And he says you should keep the greatest commandments and the least commandments.
That's right.
You should keep them all. In Matthew 23, he says, hey, the Pharisees are a bunch of hypocrites, so don't do what they do, but do what they say, because they sit in Moses' seat.
That's right.
So the Mosaic law, of course, gives us keep the Sabbath. All right. So now what I want to do, so you and I agree with all that.
Yes, sir.
Okay, now what I want to do is ask you a few things, something you may disagree with.
Okay.
All right. The Sabbath, do you think the Sabbath is a moral commandment or a symbolic commandment? Okay, you say it's both, and I'm going to...
It is a shadow. It is symbolic of the shadow of the rest that is spoken of in Hebrews chapter 4. And when
Okay, right. Okay, so like adultery, let's say adultery.
Yes.
Do not commit adultery. That's a moral commandment.
That's right.
And there's also symbolic, you can apply it symbolically, like God wants us to be faithful to him and not have other gods before him.
Right.
So adultery is a moral command that could be applied symbolically.
Right.
But some commandments are simply symbolic, like rituals, like sacrificing the blood of the Passover lamb.
Yes.
The lamb's blood can't save you from sin, but it was a symbol of Christ's blood.
Right.
So I'm asking you about the Sabbath, if the Sabbath is fundamentally a moral command, or if it's a symbol, a symbolic command, a sign.
Well, transgression of the law is sin, and any sin is immoral.
Well, that's again, that's not what I'm asking. God commanded really three tiers of law. Law toward God, like don't blaspheme God. Law toward man, like love your neighbor, don't steal, don't murder.
Right.
And then symbolic ordinances.
Yes.
Things, for example, like don't wear clothing with mixed fabrics like wool and linen.
Or mixing seeds.
And the reason for don't mix fabrics of wool and linen is because Christ is our covering. Remember, God covered Adam and Eve in the garden.
Right.
And that's a symbol of covering your sin. And Christ is our covering. And he's a pure covering. So let your clothing, God said to Israel, let even your clothing be pure, because you are to be a people separated to me in a symbol of my salvation through my son, the Messiah. So their clothing,
also washing the garments, which actually means to keep the commandments.
Well, okay, but
keeping your garments clean.
All right. And so, Jeff, what I'm trying to illustrate is there are many commandments. There are hundreds of commandments, actually.
Let's just talk about the 10.
No, I got to make this point. There are commandments that are symbolic in that it's not inherently immoral to wear a garment that has wool and linen or wool and cotton. That's not in – God did not write that on people's conscience, but it was a symbol to point to Christ. And so God said to Israel, don't wear clothing of mixed fabrics. And if a Jewish person were to disobey that law, it would be a sin. It's a sin because they're disobeying God, not because the symbolic ordinance is inherently immoral.
And there are other things. Anything that is not of faith is sin.
Yeah, but I want to get you, if we can.
I'll agree with you.
Okay, because that's crucial. All right, because that's crucial.
Okay.
And so the question is, so God gave many symbolic ordinances. In fact, in the Bible, he calls them symbolic ordinances.
And he makes distinctions between them.
Yeah, exactly. And he says these are signs and these...
The commandments you said Friday, that he wrote those on stone.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, here's the question I have for you.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I'll ask you again. Is the Sabbath commandment a moral commandment or is it a symbolic commandment?
It is a moral commandment.
Okay, now I'm going to suggest to you otherwise, and I'll give you some biblical evidence. Okay?
Okay.
First, I'll give you New Testament evidence, and then we'll go back to the Old Testament to look at God repeatedly calling the Sabbath a symbol of his covenant with Israel.
First,
I'd like to first start in the New Testament.
Can I make one clarification?
Yes.
The difference between the traditions of men that the Pharisees added things to the Sabbath law.
Yeah, I realize that.
And there's God's commandment.
Yeah, I realize that, but we'll stick to God's stuff.
Okay.
Okay, the way that we can know that the Sabbath is a symbol is because in the Bible, God shows us that you can violate the Sabbath and yet remain righteous. For example, if you think of adultery and murder, right? Those are moral commands. You never have to violate adultery so that you don't commit murder. You never have to rape a woman so that you don't steal. Do you follow? Moral commands are absolutes in that you can always at any time uphold any moral commandment. They never conflict because they're fundamentally moral, which means they reveal the righteousness of God, and God is non-contradictory.
Would God call Moses to have a man stoned to death for breaking a commandment?
A symbolic ordinance? Yeah, God did that commonly in the law. He gave the death penalty for violating symbolic ordinances.
So it is serious.
I'll give you an example, like touching the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes.
Right? There were plenty of people who touched the Ark of the Covenant who were not killed. But when God was using the Ark of the Covenant, and enforcing his symbolic laws with Israel, if you touched it, you were killed. It's not that it's fundamentally immoral to touch this box overlaid with gold. It's not fundamentally immoral, but because God said, this Ark of the Covenant is a symbol of my salvation, and I'm providing it to Israel, and my salvation, human beings can't add to my salvation. It's just from me, so don't even touch it. So when they touched it, he killed him. Now, I want to give you New Testament examples of how people could violate the Sabbath and remain blameless, okay? Jesus said that the priests violate the Sabbath, and they are blameless, Matthew 12, verse 5. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verse 23, that a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses should not be broken. So what we know that if a baby is born on Friday and God told Abraham and Moses, he told them that you have to circumcise a baby on the eighth day of its life. If he's born on Friday, he's 8 days old on the next Sabbath. And so then there's a command to circumcise. So the question in the mind of the Jewish father or the rabbi is, which command takes precedence? Do I keep the Sabbath and wait until tomorrow to circumcise my child, or do I violate the Sabbath and do that work today to keep the circumcision? And the answer for both the priest offering in the temple and for the rabbi or the father circumcising his son is that they profaned the Sabbath. They violated the Sabbath in order to keep commandments that were greater. And one way they knew that they were greater is that the commandment for circumcision, do you remember what chapter where God introduced that?
Circumcision?
Yes.
Abraham?
Yeah, Genesis chapter 17, God said, Abraham, you shall circumcise all your male children on the eighth day of their lives. Yes. And God repeated that in Leviticus, the same thing. Okay, and in the New Testament, we see that Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day according to the law. Right. Now, circumcision is a symbolic ordinance. It had not been commanded for the first 2,000 years of human history. There was no command to circumcise. It's a symbol of the cutting off of the flesh is a symbol of the law. Because the law says, don't commit adultery, don't covet, don't steal, and your flesh wants to do those things. So you try, by keeping the law, you try to cut off your flesh. So God gave Israel a sign in their flesh of the law, because circumcision and the law are used interchangeably as synonyms in the New Testament in places. So the point I'm making is circumcision is clearly a symbolic ordinance, yet circumcision took precedence in the Bible over the Sabbath. And there are other examples in the Bible, other commands that are symbolic ordinances, where symbols clash and the greater symbol is to be honored while the lesser symbol is to be disobeyed or broken or profaned.
Right.
Profane just means to have it common. So they profaned the Sabbath by acting as though Saturday was a common day because they had work to do that God commanded. So, Jeff, here's my point to you. I would hope that you would agree at this point that moral commands like don't murder, don't commit perjury against your neighbor, don't commit adultery, that commands like those never conflict. You never have to rape in order to avoid adultery. You never have to kidnap in order to avoid perjury, for example. But symbolic ordinances do conflict, and since the Bible tells us, and even Jesus on two occasions shows us that the Sabbath could be broken or profaned so that other symbolic ordinances are kept, what that tells us is the Sabbath is a symbolic ordinance. Will you agree with that?
Okay.
All right, great.
I'm waiting.
I asked you.
Okay, I agree with you.
Okay, good. Praise the Lord. That's real important.
All right.
Okay, so when we look at the Ten Commandments, the only command that's symbolic is the Sabbath command. All the other are from tier one and tier two, law toward God and law toward man. All right, then let me ask you this. Well, let me make a statement, and I'm hoping you'll agree with it. While we hear of the seventh day in the Genesis account, Genesis chapter 2, God rested on the seventh day, we don't see any command in the Bible to not work on the seventh day until Exodus. You agree with that?
Okay.
Now, how much time and how many chapters of the Bible pass by until we get that command? Well, Moses was 1500 BC, so 2,500 years of biblical history has passed, and we have over 100 chapters of the Bible dealing with that time before Moses. We have the 50 chapters of Genesis, 42 chapters of Job, which tells us how a righteous man lived. And we have the first 16 to 20 chapters of Exodus. So about 110 chapters or so before we find a command.
But wait a minute.
Yeah.
Moses wrote Genesis.
Yeah, he did.
He wrote Exodus.
Right.
So it's not like thousands of years passed.
No. I'm saying 2,500 years passed. Since God created...
No time passed.
No.
Both of those.
Jeff, you missed the point. I know that Moses wrote Genesis.
Okay. Okay.
Moses wrote Genesis of a history of the human race and of Israel up until his time. And in that history, he never once said that Abraham obeyed a Sabbath command not to work on the seventh day. If the Sabbath command had been common in 2,500 years of biblical history and 110 chapters of the Bible, there might be a reference to God's people not working on the Sabbath, but there is no such reference. The first reference is in the Exodus. And I'd like to add a couple other points to that. When God gave the command of the Sabbath, a man violated by picking up sticks. You remember that?
Right.
And they had to ask God. They put him under guard, we read in Numbers 15, because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, "The man shall surely be put to death." Mm-hmm. Now, that's actually a little bit confusing, because when God first introduced the Sabbath, we read of the death penalty for violating the Sabbath in Exodus 31. Oh, yeah. But the first instance we have of an Israelite disobeying the Sabbath, and all the elders and Moses are unsure how to punish him. And so what that indicates is this was a new law. This was a first instance of enforcement, and they weren't sure what was the...
It's been 400 years in Egypt, so they hadn't been practicing the Sabbath.
Well, were they practicing the circumcision?
You know, I really can't go into what I don't know anything about.
Well, I know a lot about this, Jeff, so I could fill in a few of the blanks.
I know what the New Testament is.
Jeff, let me fill in a few of the blanks.
Okay.
They were a few hundred years in Egypt, yet every man who left Egypt in the Exodus was circumcised, every single one of them, because centuries earlier God had said to Abraham, "You must circumcise." And in the New Testament, circumcision still takes priority, takes precedent over the Sabbath. When a man violated the Sabbath, the first instance in Numbers 15, they didn't know what to do about it. They had to ask God. Further, when God started to give them the manna from heaven, initially they gathered it on the Sabbath because they were unfamiliar with this idea that they couldn't work on the Sabbath, and God had to reprimand them.
Right. They weren't used to keeping the Sabbath because they've been in Egypt for 400 years.
Well, I just explained to you that they kept... Jeff, that argument doesn't wash.
Well, when Moses went to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go out to honor our God," you know, that was a break from the word.
That was a scam, actually. He was just scamming Pharaoh because they were going to leave for good. But, hey, Jeff, I just explained to you that they had been circumcising for centuries. So you can't say, well, they were in Egypt, they forgot God's covenant. They didn't. Circumcision is rather painful, and it's rather distinctive. And
Pharaoh allowed them, I guess, to circumcise, but he wouldn't allow them to keep their Sabbath.
There was no, for one, you can't force anyone to disobey God's law. You can't force anyone to disobey God's law.
I really wanted to talk about...
All right, now wait. I want to make another point to you, because I pointed out that there was no command...
I can't remember all of them.
Well, wait, there was no command to keep the Sabbath until the Exodus. There's no reference to it anywhere in 2,500 years of biblical history and 110 chapters of the Bible. And in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 14, we read that God made known the holy Sabbath by the hand of Moses. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 14. I'll quote it for you.
Are you going to let me say anything?
Well, sure.
Eventually?
Yeah, we don't have a lot more time. But
no, we don't.
But, hey, Jeff, this is a point. I was giving all the arguments you would give, Old and New Testament.
Well, you did not.
We were in the process, and then we got to something that you disagreed with. You disagreed that the Sabbath was given by Moses from God in Exodus. And I just added a verse to you. Were you aware that Nehemiah 9:14 said that God made known to them his holy Sabbath by the hand of Moses?
That's a good one.
Let me quote the whole thing. Quote, "God, you made known to them your holy Sabbath and commanded them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses, your servant."
Okay.
So now we get to the New Testament. Go ahead.
Let's get to the day.
Go ahead, yeah.
Okay. You know, in Matthew 5:19, you know it says that whoever knows one of the least of these commandments.
I quoted that already.
Yeah, and so teaches others shall be called least.
Jeff, I already quoted that. I said Matthew 5 and Matthew 23.
Jesus says
you have to keep the greatest and the least of the commandments.
That's right. That includes the fourth commandment.
Right. That included all the commandments, all the Mosaic law. It included the dietary law, the clothing law, the feast, circumcision, which was greater than the Sabbath. And my guess is the vast majority of those symbolic ordinances you do not keep.
May I go to Acts 15?
Well, do you agree with that?
I make a distinction between the ceremonial laws and God's appointed times and commandments.
Yeah, well, the dietary law and the clothing law are not ceremonial. You're talking about sacrifices. Okay, yeah, Jesus.
I make a distinction between what was inside the Ark of the Covenant and what was on the outside.
All right, yeah, Jesus Christ is the sacrifice, so we didn't have to sacrifice. You're right. But there are 100 other laws that have nothing to do with sacrifice, like when God said, don't wear clothes of mixed. Now, do you teach that you have to be circumcised to be in covenant relationship with God?
Can I go back to what I said Friday?
Go ahead.
You were making a statement that big organized churches could not vote God's moral law.
Right.
And I asked you the question, who voted to change the fourth commandment?
Right. And I would be disgusted if my church, if Denver Bible Church, got to the point where they were going to vote on whether or not we should keep the Sabbath. I would be disgusted because obeying God has nothing to do with voting on his law or his revelation. All right, so I'm consistent there. Now, let me explain to you why we don't keep the Sabbath, all right? And, in fact, I'm going to put you on hold, and after the show I'll talk to you because we have 1 minute left and I have to wrap it up. We do not keep the Sabbath because it was a symbol of God's covenant with Israel, so said the Lord 4 times in the Old Testament. It's a sign of my covenant with Israel. And in the New Testament, God turned from Israel to graft in the body of Christ where Jew and Gentile are together. And the Apostle Paul makes it really clear. He says, if you circumcise, you're cursed because you're putting yourself back under the Mosaic law. And so that's why it's Paul and only Paul who says, let no one judge you regarding Sabbaths, which are a shadow, a sign of things to come, but the substance is Christ. Colossians 2:16-17. In Romans 14, he was talking about the Jews who kept the Sabbath and his own converts in the body of Christ who did not. And he said, for his converts who do not keep the Sabbath, he said, he who does not observe the day, the Sabbath, to the Lord he does not observe it. So it's okay. And to the Galatians in chapter 4, he says, when you observe the feast of Israel in the days, that's the Sabbaths, he said, I'm afraid for you. So we are no longer under the Mosaic law. We are not under Israel's covenant and their symbolic ordinances. And the Sabbath is a symbol that is not even of as high a precedence as circumcision. So we are under grace. We're saved by grace and we live by grace. Come on out to Denver Bible Church.